adequately frame what you do for us by faith. So amazing that Paul told us that the eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, no mind has ever imagined what you would do for us, through us, for the prepared state of life, simply because we love you. But Paul, I would just say that we are grateful for your words, but I would say that the differ must be big, because in fact it is because you love us. You're so amazing. He told us that we would live, move, and have our being because of you. We only exist because you exist. And Lord, we shall live because you live. We shall rise because you rose. We shall have eternal life because you are eternity. That's amazing. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That's what the writer said, placing us just a little lower than angels. But yet, God, you also said that you would prepare a place for us, that where you are, we would be also. So angels, look out. Someday we're coming home and we're going to stay forever. Now, Lord, in the meantime, in this season of readiness and preparation, would you speak now, give further instructions to us, that we would know the way you would have us to go and do all that you've called us to do, becoming what you have called us to become. John inspired us when he said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him. The gospel writer was correct when he told us that we should all be changed. Paul said this is going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed. And so, God, now in this moment, in this hour of preparation, readying ourselves for what you've called us to do, becoming what you've called us to become, speak to us, dear sir, that our lives would be made whole again. Fix the raggedy portions and smooth out the rough stuff, and give us peace that surpasses our understanding. We need your gospel. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Would you put your blessed hands together? Let's give the Lord a thunderous worship by the clapping of our hands. Come on, let's really bless him. Let's move heaven and earth by telling God how much we love him. Can you just shout up toward heaven, I love you, Lord? Hallelujah. I believe I heard him say, I love you too. Amen. Grab your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Life lesson for us today is in the 2 Corinthian letter. And I really don't have the allowance to read all of it. So I'll read a setup part and pray, God, that you'll follow along in the preaching part. Amen. I really want to talk about all of what Paul says from the beginning at verse 1 all the way to what he draws as a conclusion in verse 18. But I'll just use a setup part. Beginning at verse 8, he says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down,
come on.
But we get up again
and
keep going. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of the Lord. There is a song we used to sing in the old church that I grew up in. It's a song that the senior choir sang probably better than any other choir, because at that particular time their experiences were more valid than that of the youth choir. I grew up in a church where there was a discipline to music. There was a discipline to every action and activity. In fact, the pastor made it clear that certain songs could not be sung by certain groups, especially the youth choir, because we were considered inexperienced. We had not yet lived that what we sing would be our testimony. And we understood it. I grew up in a church where whatever the pastor said, that was that. There was no such thing as going to him and negotiating or trying to explain. It's what the pastor said. And I discovered that in my youth that a lot of people use that as a liberty or license to kill things that they wanted to die. What they would simply say is, well, the pastor said. Now, whether he really said it or not sometimes was really not verified, but because nobody was going to go ask him, whenever people wanted to kill stuff, they would say, well, the pastor said, and that was the end of that. But there is a song that we would sing. Again, the senior choir could sing it better than anybody else. And there's a line in the song, Sister Davis, that says, time is filled with swift transition. And I think what the course of the song means, or what the sincere meaning of the writer was, that it gets hard out here. It's difficult to live any place for any length of time or be around any people for any length of time and not experience some friction of some kind. And so it is today. I want to share with you what I really believe Paul is telling us as a church. And to realize that one has to internalize their place, their purpose, and their presence with God. Place and presence are not the same thing. I know somebody smart tried to pick that up right quick, but it's not the same thing. Because there are places we can be in our mind that our presence does not agree with. And there are places that we are in presence that our mind does not agree with. And so it is that Paul says to the church that we've got some struggles here. There are some things that I am dealing with that I want to make my testimony to you so that you can better deal with. You do know that your life is not your own. How you live around us and before us, with us, dictates to us and also determines for us the true validation of your life and your testimony. You cannot say to us that you trust God with all your heart and all your mind and you live in unfaithfulness. You can't say to us that you are a servant of God and you only choose selective service as your service. And so it does matter. And so Paul says that I need to get this message across to the church at Corinth so that they don't fall into disrepair along their journey. Time is filled with swift transition. Stuff happens quickly. Elijah comes to mind when at the beginning of the day, he starts out in full confidence to sit with 450 prophets to charge and challenge them to a showdown to the glory of God, come successful through the showdown, and before the day goes down, he's racked with fear. He's afraid for his life. He has saw, he has just witnessed a mighty move of God, unlike anyone had ever done before. And simply because a statement of conflict comes into his hearing, he cowers under the moment. Time is filled with swift transition. You can be on top today and swallowed up before the end of the day. You can have everything you ever dreamed or imagined and have it all taken away by a thief who comes to steal. You can be in good health today and go in for just a routine annual checkup. And before you leave the doctor's office, you calling somebody to drive you home because you're a wreck. Because they said, I saw something. And so it is. Paul says, there's a lesson we need to learn. The lesson we need to learn is that we can be broken, but we can be better. And that's what I want to talk about for a little while. I want to talk about being broken, but being better. Please understand that the reality for most of us is that we live in uncertainty all the time. I understand you want to have a sense of confidence. You want to have a certain air of invincibility, but we just don't know. One of the great preachers of our time, the Reverend Dr. Caesar W. Clark, preached a sermon many years ago, and the title of the sermon was that things rarely work out as planned. And that is a reality. We often say, Brother Thomas, that it is the best laid plans of mice and men, and we do well to plan. We do well to plan. I'm not an advocate against planning. I'm an advocate for planning. But the reality is things rarely work out according to our plan. And so it is, Paul helps us to get into a frame of mind that tells us. Here's the same guy who writes his first letter to the church at Corinth and tells them that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no one has ever imagined what God has prepared. And now in his second letter, he's saying to them, I'm broke. I've been hurt by this thing. And the reality for most of us is to read the first Corinthian letter inspires us to understand that God has things for us. And I don't know about you, but that's just good news to me to know that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and has not entered into the imagination of anybody what God has prepared for me. And yet when I read on in the letter, I discover that I'm always dealing with something. And I would to help you understand, brothers and sisters, that despite all that you're dealing with that is negative and detrimental, you still ought to find a way to praise God. Yeah, in spite of everything that you got to deal with, you still ought to praise God. No, I said again, in spite of it, no matter what happens to you, no matter how many times you fall down, you got to get up. No matter how many times you're broken, you got to get up. No matter how many times you're hurting, you got to get up. Because in spite of all of it, I still got a praise in reserve. Tell your neighbor, keep one in reserve because you're going to need it. My grandmother, your grandmother, and everybody else's grandmother used to always say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't this, it's that. It's always something. Every time my grandmother would say this when I would get in trouble under my breath, but she said, every time I turn around, it's something. And one time it came out. I said, don't turn around. I didn't know it came out. Any of y'all ever had that problem? You thinking things, and before you know it, you engaged into the atmosphere. And I was engaged in the atmosphere as well. She backhanded me and told me, you better watch your mouth. And you know that's a hard thing when you're a child. But Paul says, in the early part of the letter, he says, listen, it's really about this relationship. You read the early part of the letter, you will discover that Paul introduces this thing in a sense of faithfulness to God. What he's trying to get all of us to understand is you got to be faithful. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Doesn't matter how wonderful it is. It doesn't matter if you're on the top, the bottom, or in the middle. He said, you got to be faithful. And then he talks about the ministry of the church. He said, listen, please understand, when I first started preaching to you, I know you didn't understand me. I know there were some things that didn't come across so well. He said, but I was really trying to get you into a frame of mind that you would begin to understand that the message, in as much as you may not understand all of it, there's some glory in this. God, I feel my help right there. If there's one thing, Eric, I've learned in this life that keeps me on my feet, is that whatever's happening, there's some glory in this. Yeah, it doesn't matter. In whatever state I'm in, there's some glory in this. It reminds me of the old Cracker Jack that we used to get back when Cracker Jack was real Cracker Jack and the box was really full of Cracker Jack. Listen, no matter whatever happened at the top, you know what you're going to find at the bottom. I tried once or twice to open it the other way and it don't open so well. But the truth of the matter is, whatever's going on in this life, there is some glory in this. And you know how it was with the Cracker Jack box. You never knew what you were going to get. All of us ultimately wanted that whistle, but there were some other things in there. But whatever it was yours and it was a prize. And the fact of the matter is, you got to learn that there is a prize in this. There is something about whatever it is that God has some glory in this. Our light afflictions are but for a moment. Nudge your neighbor and say, it can't last forever. Can't last forever. He reminds us and he says, I'm not going to tell you what I've heard. I'm going to tell you what I know. And here it is. I'm getting out of the way. But what bothered me, what, I've got my favorite characters in the Bible, and Paul is one of my favorite characters. I love Paul. I love David. I love David a great deal, and I love Paul. I guess if one called me to go to lunch, whoever called me first, that's where I'm going. But I love Paul. And Paul, what bothers me about Paul, what always pokes at me about Paul, is why did he put up with it? Why? This is a guy that economically he had it made. Education-wise, he had it made. As far as family experience, he had it made. Why would you put up with church folk? Why would you give up your tent business? Why would you stop hanging out among the elite crowd and put up with church folk? It always bothers me when I look at Paul. It just keeps, because if it was me, if it was Leroy, Lois Child, Sammy the little boy, how do young hair this? My first testimony would be, I ain't come here for this. Paul proves to us what the church does not really want to know. That serving God is hazardous to your health. Any character that really went all in with God, it cost them something. The only reason Paul got beat was because he served God. The only reason he got shipwrecked is because he served God. The only reason he went to jail is because he served God. The only reason folk wanted to kill him is because he served God. The only reason he shackled is because he served God. Nobody would have ever bothered Paul. Serving the Lord is hazardous to your health. They only killed Stephen because he loved the Lord. They hung James because he loved the Lord. That they crucified Jesus because he was the Lord. I'm telling you now that it bothers me when I look at Paul, because I would have walked away. You consider the dangers and toils that he incurred just because of Jesus. We live in a society now where somebody sent out a memo and it was nothing but a lie from the time they sent it out, that when you serve God, everything going to be all right. It ain't so. I'm not trying to distract you. I'm just trying to prove to you that even when you're broken, you can be better. You've got to learn how to elevate your mind to getting better. Nobody ever gets healed until we do what Mary Poppins said. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. You gotta look at your life and understand that any lesser motivations or misappropriated mindset is going to mess you up even further. Some of us are thinking if we cut bait and get out now, we're going to be all right. No, you ain't going to never be all right without the Lord. That's why he is a healer. Why is God a healer? Because he knows folk going to get sick. Why is God a resurrected God? Because he knows some of us going to die. And he proved to us that it mattered to Paul. Paul said, listen, please understand that what I'm trying to tell you is not about me. I'm almost there, Deacon Walker. He said, my preaching wasn't about me. I wasn't trying to paint nor pad my resume, but my preaching was about Jesus. And he can say, he said, and I like this, he said, the only thing I can say about me is that I'm a servant. I wish I could get some witnesses that were way back and say, Reverend, I'm one of them too. Amen. That's five of y'all. He said, listen, I'm just trying to tell you that I realized something early in my relationship with God. Because you do know he wasn't always hooked up with God. But he said, I realized something early in my relationship that I'm precious to God. Ooh, I feel like hollering right there. He said, I realized that I'm precious to God. I matter to God. And because I matter to God, God matters to me. Oh, God, I wish I had three witnesses right there. You ever want to feel better about yourself? Feel better about God. You ever want to feel elevated? Lift him up. You ever want to see your way out? Follow him. Because Paul said, I realize I've got treasure in a jar made out of clay. And I didn't put it there myself. Whatever I am is what God saw in me. And whatever God's going to get out of me is what God put in me. I didn't have to fabricate it. He made it so. I didn't have to lie about it because he is my truth. I discovered that I am somebody to God. And so he says, I'm all right. I'm not, again, y'all know I like movies. I like that little song in The Wizard of Oz when they start singing, you're out of the woods, you're out of the woods, you're out of the woods. I'm not out of the woods. My assignment is in the woods. I got to deal with lions and tigers and bears. But the God I serve is able to see me through. I got marks in my body. I got scars. I've got migraines. I've been mismanaged. But the God I serve is able. And he don't have to fix it. He can just teach me how to live with what's broken. And sometimes that is the lesson of life. You've got to learn how to live with broke stuff. We've been enamored and fooled by, I'm just about there. We've been fooled by folk to think that God got to fix everything. Some stuff ain't going to never be fixed. Some of us are going to have to learn how to live in the crucified state. Because resurrection can only come after crucifixion. David said that this way, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'm all right. Nudge your neighbor and ask him, how you get along with that? Yeah. You do know that valleys are necessary because they serve as the link between your mountains. You can't go from mountain to mountain unless you go through the valley. Y'all ain't talking back to me. There ain't no way to get from one mountain to another mountain unless you go through your valleys. And one of the reasons our church is stuck is because we got too many folks trying to skip the valley and not understand the mountain. David said, I'm all right. Because when I come through the valley, there's some bonus stuff. When I come out of this, God's going to give me that. And that's the wonderful thing, because Paul helps us to understand that no matter what happens, I'm hopeful. I'm still confident. You music folk know that there's a song that was made by the Martins, Sevilla and Steelman, that said, whatever be tied, be not dismayed, whatever be tied, know you this, God will take care of you. Y'all didn't hear me. He said, no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. He didn't say God's thinking about it. He didn't say God's going to consider it. Sevilla and Stillman said, God will. My help, I
put a note here that if they're helping you right long through here, go on and close, but y'all ain't helping me. So I'm going on a little further.
Because I could have made my mark telling you that God will.
But you ain't earned it yet. I gotta get a little more out of you before I put all of mine out there. Amen. He reminds us. He said, listen, you got to understand. Verse 8 now. He said, we're in trouble here. We're pressed on every side. Have any of y'all ever been in that place where no matter which way you turn, it's something? Even in the old familiar haunts, even among the old crew, even in the place where you used to be able to seek refuge and get refreshment, it's something. In other words, what I'm saying, Eric, everybody tripping. Amen. You ever been in that situation where everybody tripping? Your wife tripping, your mama tripping, your daddy tripping, the kids tripping, the boss tripping, the police tripping, IRS tripping, everybody tripping. Amen. They made a club, a song some years ago about everybody in the club get tipsy. No, everybody in the world is tripping. Don't act like y'all don't know that everybody in the club get tipsy. He said, listen, you need to understand, I know you're broken. Can I tell you, Luther, what the real learn is? God sets us up to get broken. Y'all ain't talking now. Oh, everybody won't get quiet now. That's why I ain't no deacon. That's why I ain't no trustee. That's why I don't want to be on no ministry because I ain't going through. Listen, whether you serve or don't serve, everybody is set up to get broken. Brokenness is part of the assignment. It's gonna happen. And he said, listen, what you need to do. Is realize that even though you are in trouble, you're not crushed. You can be down, but you don't have to go out. You understand? He said, in other words, what he's telling us as we move down, look, watch this now. He says, we get hunted down, but God never abandons us. All he's saying is, he said, whatever you're going through, you're going to sure enough get through. He says, whatever you're dealing with, it's going to be worth it. The value of your struggle is that you struggle to win. Some of y'all quitters. Can I borrow a few minutes? Some of y'all just quitters. Some of y'all just whine too much. Pouting and pontificating and posturing. You need to press. Okay, I got three people. I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all whine too much. All this pouting and posturing and pontificating. You need to press. Okay, I got 12 that time. I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all whine too much. All this pouting and posturing and pontificating. All this here, he ain't going to do all this here hubbub about nothing. What you need to do is gird up your loins and press. You got to send your trouble from hell back to hell. All this, it ain't fair. And why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. You better listen up here, children. You've been set up to get broken. You didn't hear what Jesus said? He told them that these things are happening to you because of me. He said, you think things are bad when it's green, you wait till it gets dry. You wait till the winter comes. Some of y'all are too seasonal. Knowing the weather's fine and the leaves are green, the grass is blowing in the wind, you are fine and dandy. But when barren times come, you go into your incubation period. Some of y'all might as well leave a note at the church, say, see you next spring. Winter's coming. Even Jesus reminds us to pray that our worst struggles don't come in the winter. What Jesus is saying is some of y'all can't hang. Nudge your neighbor and say, don't let him talk to you like that. Because he ain't talking to me. Because I can hang. I'm deep like that. Yes, sir. No, he ain't talking to me. He might well move on right along through there because I can hang. Paul says, no, you need to understand something. I'm just about there. He says, unusual things happen to unusual people. That is the expectation of the righteous. That when the lot falls to me, God trusts me with it. There are some people God can't trust with calamity. There are some people God can't trust with greater ministry because they have never proven themselves in the lesser thing. You remember when the Lord said all things are possible. Please don't misunderstand that. That verse opens both the negative and the positive. The negative and the positive. All things are in it. This could go either way. But here's my consolation. God is with me. I am more comfortable with God in my storms than I am in my leisure. Because in my leisure time, we all chilling like a villain. But when the storm comes, I need a capable captain at the helm of this ship. He said, unusual thing. He said, listen, it has a lot to do with your expectation, your experience, and your empowerment. That was my three out, Sandra, but they still haven't earned it yet. I'm going a little further. My expectations are brokenness. If there is one thing I have learned in a pastor, is that the first thing on the agenda ought to be brokenness. That's why the Bible says, I've learned to endure all things. You gotta put, don't skip writing brokenness on your agenda. Oh, because it's going to get broke. Brokenness teaches me something. That the fair weather never will. Some of us are hating on our situations right now when what you ought to be doing is shouting. Some of you are frustrated and angry. You don't even want to acknowledge what I'm preaching right now because you're so afraid that something else is going to happen. It's going to happen, honey. You ought to be writing down brokenness. My grandmother used to have what we called back down south, Brother McKenzie, a hope chest. I thought everybody had them. It's old school furniture, the hope chest. And they were serious about it. In the hope chest, you would put in there what you expected to come. Now, I don't know if it was a biblical principle behind it or not. I vaguely think not. But she always put in there both good and bad. When things happen in life, she said, well, I kind of saw that coming. And many of us have become jaded by comfort, jaded by counterfeit, jaded by that which is of the construct of which there is no value. Paul says, don't do that. Can I read on a little further? He said, we have come to understand, verse 11, that we're in constant danger because we serve the Lord. But notice what he says next. I'm going home here. He says, so that the life of Christ will be obvious in us. Nudge your neighbor and ask him, can you see Jesus in me? Ask him, please don't lie to me. If there's any time you're going to tell me the truth, please tell me the truth now. Paul said, I'm telling you now that the reason this brokenness comes is so that they can better see Christ. Because if you could do it all by yourself, why would you need him? You would never have to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me if you can do it yourself. It's the principle. Don't read your Bible for the way out. Read your Bible for the way in. Paul says, I do warn you that that there is a process here. I've taken up so much of your time, I won't be able to get it all, but can I just give you what I would have gave you? Because I really could have finished back there with that God will, but you didn't help me enough. Then I was going to try to finish up with that obvious Christ thing, but you didn't help me enough. So I've got two good things that I thought, if you didn't help me by then, I'll help myself. So Lady D, to help myself, the first thing I've discovered in my brokenness is I've got to have a disillusion of my situation. What are you saying? I gotta not look at it like it really is. What are you saying? It's right there in the chapter. He says we're pressed on every side. We got trouble. We got all kinds of things going on. But we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. I got to be disillusioned by the situation. I can't let this thing be what it looks like. Paul reminds us by saying, Deacon Anderson, he said, listen, we're just looking through a glass darkly. In other words, here's the setup point, Sandra. Sometimes in life, things are just too dark for discernment. In other words, you can't see it for what it really is. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. It doesn't matter what your office or station or title is. Paul said all of us are stuck looking through a glass darkly and we can't see this thing for what it really is. But the hope we have is that after a while, by and by, imperfection will become perfection, cloudy will become uncloudy, and God will show us. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You got to have a disillusionment. You got to convince yourself that what I see ain't what I see. And sometimes what I say ain't what I see. But whatever God is doing, it's all right with me. He reminds us, he said, listen, all of us are incomplete. All of us are impartial. He said, listen, but what I don't know now, I'll know then. Nudge your neighbor and tell them you got to live for your then. Sometimes in life you got to get to the place where partial and incomplete is not your frustration, but it's your forward marching order. You got to get through this. Nudge your neighbor and tell them you got to get through it. You got to get through it because that's not your final resting place. That's not the climax. That's not the epilogue. That's not it. That's not where you're supposed to be. You can't finish halfway through the race. That's why he reminds us, you got to run on and see what the end shall be. I don't know where you are now, but run on. I don't know what you're going through now, but run on. I don't know who hurts you, but run on. I don't know what makes you quit, but run on. This ain't no checkered flag. This is the rest area, not the resign area. Can't quit. Songwriter said, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. And what he reminds us is, he said that God knows just how much you can bear. God does not know us as we try to make other folk know us. Some of us, we post pictures of ourselves that are not even us. We write stories about ourselves that have been embellished so much so that we don't recognize reading our own handwriting. But God knows us for who we really are. God knows that I stagger and stumble. God knows I have a problem with this and an issue with that. God knows my proclivity and my vices. But thanks be unto God, he knows what's best for me. He didn't quit on me, and I darn sure ain't gonna quit on him. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. I've decided to follow him wherever he leads. I've decided to keep my hand in the wine and chain. I've decided to walk with him and talk with him. I've decided to tell him all about my troubles. I've decided to let him hear me when I cry. Some of y'all don't want folk to see you cry. Some of y'all don't want folk to see you raggedy. Some of y'all won't answer the door till you put your weave back in and your nails back on. But I want God to see me ugly, because when I'm ugly, he can help me. When I'm broken, he can fix me. When I'm down, he can lift me. When I'm hurt, he can help me. When I'm wounded, he can heal me. God, come see about me. My situation will not silence my shout. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to church anyhow. Then rest for a minute. The second thing I was going to help myself with after I get a get myself ready to be disillusioned by the situation is I have determined that I will survive. I made up my mind. It's right there in verse 16, and I'm going to leave y'all alone. You can go on about your business right after verse 16. Verse 16 said, that's why we don't ever give up. That's why. What's why? Because of all the other stuff I just told you. Because I am hard pressed. Because I have been through the fire. Because I have been in the flood. Because I did lose my car. Because I did lose my job. Because she left me. Because they lied on me. Because they did this. They did that. That's why I don't give up. Because I have discovered and I do declare that greater is he that is in me. I'm determined to survive. That's why we don't give up. He said, that's why even though we're dying, my spirit going to be all right. Paul reminds us, he said, listen, it's right there in the text. He said, that's why I can't give up. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I keep coming here to get better. Oh, that's a shout right there. That's why I keep coming. That's why I keep teaching. That's why I keep preaching. That's why I keep praying, even though I got to pray by myself. I'm coming here to get better. I didn't come here to whine. I didn't come here to fall out. I didn't come here for you to feel sorry for me. I didn't come here for you to walk in my tears. I came to get better. This is my Gilead. There is a balm here. There is healing here. There is rescue here. There is redemption here. As long as I got God, I'm going to get better. Jeremiah said, why is there no healing? Why are my people in this shape? Is there no healing for the people? Yes, Jeremiah. We serve a God. And I'm determined to survive. I'm not going to let this kill me. I'm not going to let words destroy me. I'm not going to let defections delay me. I made up my mind. I'm determined to survive. And I shall survive in grade A condition. Job, come help me. I'm getting ready to go. Job says, I felt something right there. When I have gone through the fire, I feel my help coming now. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And when I come through the fire, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm coming out of this. It may look bad right now. It may be a four-alarm blaze. But when I come through the fire, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to die in here. I've made up my mind that the lions can't eat me. I've made up my mind that the furnace will not consume me. Look at your name and say, when I come through the fire, I shall come forth. Not like I went in. I won't come through as bronze. I won't come through as pewter. I won't come through as some devalued metal. But when I come through this fire, look at your name and say, burn, baby, burn. There's fire all around me. Got fire in my marriage. Got fire in my ministry. I found my job, but when I come through this fire, I made up my mind, I shall be delivered. I may smell like smoke, but I won't get burned. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out with my head held high. I'm coming out dancing. I'm coming out dropping it like it's hot. When I come through this fire, God's gonna get the glory. I'm not gonna run tell my mama. I'm not gonna tell my daddy. I'm gonna run tell Jesus. Won't Jesus make it all right? I'm coming out of this. Give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, I'm coming out of this. There is a balm in Gilead for the healing of my soul. That's why the writer said, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burden down. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, where you're going, you don't need no excess baggage. You gotta drop that load, drop that pain, drop that whining, drop, because the glory of the Lord, I can see clearly now that there are better days ahead. Won't God make it better? So much better now. I feel all right. I feel my help coming here because I'm coming out. I can handle being delayed, but I refuse to be denied. Come here, Joshua, and help me make my way home. Joshua says, you got to press on a little further. I may have to go around, but I ain't going back. I may have to go around, but I ain't going back. Paul said, press your way. You got to pick them up and put them down. You got to press. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've come too far. I've come through too much. I've endured too much to turn back now. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Say press. Say forward. Say go. On your mark. Get ready. Get set. Go. On your mark. Get ready. Get set. Go. Run. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you gotta run. Because God is calling you to higher service, calling you to higher life. He's calling you. Anybody hear him calling? Say, yes, Lord, I hear. I said, I hear. I heard a voice from heaven say unto me. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's talking to me. He called me. And when he calls, I'm going to be ready. Anybody want to be ready? Say, ready. I want to be ready when my Jesus come. I want to be ready. Say, yeah. Say, I want to be ready. I'm broken, but I'm better. I feel all right now. I said I'm broken, but I'm better. That's why he said, friend, don't treat me like they used to. When I was broken, they didn't want to talk to me. They didn't invite me to lunch. They didn't want to hang around me. But now that I'm better, I'm back on the A-list. I'm getting invites again. But that's all right, because for God I live. I'm determined. I'm going to survive. I may have to go around, but I ain't going back. I may have to wait, but I ain't gonna waver. I may have to stop and stand, but I'm not going back. After all I've been through, he told me that he would be my present help. And I guess if I could have stopped right there, Ozelia, it would have been assumptive on my nature to wonder what kind of help would I need? And when would I need this help? But I read on the next line. Said that he would be my very present help in the times of my trouble. I told you got to read the next line. And what God is saying is, I have called you to brokenness. But because of who I am and what I do so well, anybody can give your neighbor a high five and tell him he does it so well. He's a fixer. He put the Olivia Pope in Olivia Pope. He is a fixer. Nothing's too hard for God. And Sandra, I was going to give them earlier, but it didn't help me enough. I was going to tell you that the real shout is not to be disillusioned by the situation. You got to also be determined to survive. But I was going to tell you in the end that your destiny is a setup. You're going to make it. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He said, I'll never leave you and I won't forsake you. Your mother and father may turn on you, your cousin may turn on you, but I'm never going to leave you. I promise that I'll be there. When the storms of life are raging and the fury falls on me, it's going to happen. But the writer said, but my soul has been anchored. In the Lord. I've discovered I can't trust some people like I used to. Folk done turned on me. Folk don't run like they used to. Folk don't want to serve with me. But my soul has been anchored. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. My soul has been anchored. When the winds and rain are raging, the waves encompass about me. There is a peace that surpasses my understanding. I don't know why the storms, but I know who controls the storm. I'm not a meteorologist. I don't understand barometric pressures. I don't understand atmospheric alterations. But I know Jesus. Grandma said he rides on every storm. I don't know about Katrina, Joaquin. I don't know about Dora. I don't know about tropical depressions. I don't know why folk lie. I don't know why folk cheat. I don't know why folk try to destroy. But the God I serve promised me that he'd be my bridge. He'd be my healing garment. I'm broken, but I promise you I'm better. You got to learn how to weather your storms. You got to learn how to navigate on broken pieces. Everybody that starts out with you ain't gonna finish with you. Everybody that's cheering for you today will be hollering boo tomorrow. But Jesus is a good corner man. He's a good cut man. He's a good setup man. Paul said, I've been disillusioned, but I've been determined. But my destiny, my deliverance is a setup. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, the closing argument would have simply been that Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. That where I am. Tell your neighbor, you ain't going to die here. In the physical sense, we're going to die. But there is the second offering is there is new life after this.
And he says, I'm waiting for you. Let's stand on our feet together. I'm going to let you go because you got somewhere to be. There's an old song we used to sing in the church. It says, soon and very soon, he's going to see the King. There's some lines in there that says things like, no more crying there. You know, none of those things are going to bother us. And because we're going to see the King. And then it says we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Those kinds of songs resonate with me. I know God will. For the broken today, you're going to get better. For the hurt, there's a healing. This is your Gilead. This is your Gilead. You keep coming to get better. You keep going around, but you don't have to go back. And please understand, the love of God, the devil is a liar. He lied about your marriage. Lied about your job. He lied about your health. He lied about your church. Lied about your fellowship and your fellow disciples. The devil is a liar. Don't you ever believe a word he says. Paul said, we're pressed on every side. It's coming at me from every angle. He said, we're crushed. We're perplexed. It's confusing, isn't it? How many of you can testify that you didn't think it was going to be like this? That's what he said. We're perplexed. He said, our testimony is, man, this don't make no sense. He said, but we never give up. Can I get somebody to testify back with me that you're not going to give up? No matter how hard it gets, no matter how long the season endures, I'm not going to give up. Not everything is microwavable. Some seasons linger. God, our Father, today I pray that you touch someone's heart in this room. Some young man, some young woman, some mother, or some father has been pressed. They're up against it. Their back is against the wall. Their face is on the ground. They feel shackled. Feel set upon. Kidnapped, arrested, held against their will. God, we wanted a way out, but we couldn't find it. And so we got frustrated and just decided to do like little Jack Horner and just go sit in a corner. But no, God, not now. Not now. Not today. God, would you put some liftability that they'll get up? Put some forward momentum in them that they'll press on. Give them the strength of Samson that they can fight again. Oh God, this is their Gilead. They came today looking for a balm. Jeremiah said, there's got to be a physician here. There's got to be a prescription here. There's got to be restoration and recovery here. For the people are wounded. Make this our Gilead. That the broken would be better. The hurt would be healed. The lost would be found. We are tired of living in bondage. God, make the Babylonians go away. Make the Syrians leave us alone. Put the devil back in prison and show us a way of escape. God, do what you did for Paul and Silas. Open up the prison doors. God, post our bail today and grant us our pardon. We're coming out. We're coming out. We're coming out. Oh God, deliver. Be that very present help. Because I don't want to live like this another day. Could you do what you did for David and give me back my joy? Put a praise back on my lips. Psalm writer told me that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who can shake me when I got the Lord on my side? You're my hope. You're my help. You're my healing. You're my hallelujah. Deliver us. Somebody today, Lord, has been in that prison too long. Loose them. Let them go. We're determined to survive. We will not die in this place. I may have to go around, but I ain't going back. I've come too far. And Lord, I know that my English teachers and comprehensive thinkers are going to frown when I say, but it's getting gooder and gooder. And I can't go back. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. God, today touch somebody's heart that they might confess their sins and come crying for your salvation. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, touch somebody today. Our doors are open. My brother, my sister, my friend, we're waiting for you. God still loves you. Ain't never stopped loving you. Our doors are open for you. Come on today. Let the Lord rescue you. Your ship is in the port. Your passage has been paid. Get on board and sail with Jesus. Oh, how much he loves you. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. God, heal the sick among us today. Thank you for the restoration work you've done in the lives of so many. Thank you, Lord, for healing Sister Royal and bringing her back to the family. Thank you for healing Deacon Campbell. Oh, God, bless Sister Harmony's grandpa. Make him better day by day. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Sister Penn and Brother Jesse. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what fighters look like, and fighters become winners. Oh God, thank you today that we are yet still alive with a praise on our lips and a shout in our throat, clapping our hands and the wave of our hands. We feel better. Thank you, Lord, for all that we see. Thank you for Sister Nowlin. What a testimony.